Hi, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm very pleased to be on site at the National Teaching Institute of the American Association of Critical Care Nurses, and this is the 50th, correct?
Correct,
okay. Yeah. And I'm sitting here with two presidents, the outgoing president, Lisa Riggs, and the incoming president, now the president-elect until June, you take over, or July?
July 1st.
Yeah. Megan Brunson. So thank you both. I know you run yourselves ragged around here during NTI. I'd like to start off, Lisa, with you, and just how was your year?
Well, Sean, I had a great year, actually. There are responsibilities you have, of course, as president, but my favorite part is going out and meeting the nurses. The energy is so good, and people are so positive, and they're doing so many great things. So part of my role as president was to be kind of a liaison to the organization. So when I would go out and be able to talk to nurses and then be able to come back and share what I've learned with the staff at AACN so we can be relevant, so we can remain important to the nurses that provide care at the bedside. So for me, that was the most enjoyable, loved it, time was to be with the nurses when I would be out and about.
And when you were out and about, what's the most pressing issue that nurses voice to you?
Yeah, one of the big questions I ask when I'm out is what is the biggest challenge that you have? And frequently, the challenge they brought up was staffing, which didn't surprise me at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few years back, we asked, what's your biggest barriers to practice? And our membership and our community shared with us that there were several things, but the biggest issue for them was staffing.
Mm-hmm.
So that just validated what we had heard and what we knew. So I felt not happy about it, that's the wrong word, but I felt like we were validated because we're doing so much work in our strategic advocacy area, making staffing a priority and trying to move forward and address what I think has been the elephant in the room for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And now we're just calling it out and saying we must.
It's time now. We must address
mm-hmm. it.
Now, Megan, you haven't formally been out on the road in terms of your position, your upcoming position, but certainly your activities with AACN, you've been exposed and stuff. Would you agree that staffing is the big issue for
I would,
everyone?
And actually I am out on the road a lot. I think that, you know, I probably had about as half as many, you know, trips as Lisa, so I have been out there, and I would completely agree. I mean, it is the number one thing that the members are really talking about and have the most concern. So I'm really excited where we're going with the visioning behind the appropriate staffing work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of this, I know I've read the survey and spoken with Connie Barden and
sure.
Beth Ulrich and attended the session last year, and there's another session. Is it today?
Yes.
Yes.
I think it is today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's been an issue since I was a critical care nurse way back when.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all well and good to get the survey and get the data.
Sure.
What's the plan for moving it forward?
So the plan is we've really got two parallel things happening. We know that staffing is a complex issue, from turnover to budget to not enough nurses coming out of school to staff to experience. So there's a whole host of things that play into having appropriate staffing. So we know that will take some time. So we have sort of a track where we're looking at how do we look at those and how do we engage some partners. So we are working on convening a group and getting outside of AACN, having leadership across nursing begin to talk about this as one. But we know that takes time.
Mm-hmm.
But we know the issue is now. So we have another parallel track that we've asked for people to please tell us what unique, positive, deviant sorts of solutions have you put into place that others could learn from. And we're working on getting those on our website. And we've got a few stories out there now, but we're adding to that continuously. So We're trying to approach it from a, what in the short term, how can we share positive deviance and solutions that are working, and then a parallel that we know is going to take longer, where we look at what's a long-term solution. Do we have any creative, innovative, bold ideas? But we haven't gotten to that point yet.
Do you foresee the association moving towards legislative priorities working in that area?
We have partners in that specifically focus on legislative areas, so we know that's probably one area we're going to have to look at. I don't know if AACN will do it specifically themselves or if we will partner with someone who can help us with that to look at what legislative things need to happen.
Mm-hmm. Is there any thought about... of course, the two camps seem to be the one camp that feels that unless it's mandated through legislation mm-hmm. and is a mandated ratio, is a minimum ratio, mm-hmm. Versus the camp that says, well, you can't go by a minimum ratio because patients change and census changes and nurses change.
Right. Right.
So is there any discussion of which camp that AACN feels they're in or heading towards?
I would say we're making our own camp, to be honest, because I don't think either one of those solutions in isolation is going to work. We need to look at the whole. Mm-hmm. We need to look at, is there minimum staffing required? Don't know. Might be a legislative standpoint. And we need to look at, how do we match the skills of the nurses with the needs of the patient? Mm-hmm. And how do you balance at 10 a.m. you had this acuity in this situation, and at 2 p.m. it looks different? So I think that's the hard part about this, Sean, is it's so complex.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think we're forming a third camp. Say, let's be open to what is out there and what can we do and what new ideas can we come up with, not Camp A or Camp B, but Camp C.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's interesting. So Megan, what's your background? How did you arrive at this place where you are today?
Oh, first off, I feel so lucky, right? I mean, I just feel like it's going to be an amazing year ahead. I have 20 years experience as a bedside nurse. I remain a bedside nurse and work night shift. And from my AACN lens, I have done a lot of work with the chapters, all the way up to being a chapter lead. And we have about 235, don't quote me on that, chapters across the country. Mm-hmm. So we have quite a lot of spread there. And then continued on into the board role and was treasurer, and then put my name forward for presidency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you've put your time in.
Dabbled in a few things, yeah.
And how does this work now with your position at home? What's your day job?
My day job is I am officially called a supervisor. Some hospitals see that about an assistant manager level. Mm-hmm. And we have a night shift and a day shift supervisor that support our manager. And my role at home is wonderful, and my hospital supports me, and I'm just really thrilled to be able out there working for them, but in a different capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And look forward to, you know, being able to support them in a different way this year.
Mm-hmm. I was knocked out at the session this morning when I guess it was Liz Bridges asked, you know, all the certified nurses to stand up, and was just amazed at how many were in the audience. And mm-hmm. I was in the audience yesterday, and this morning I stopped in one of the overflow rooms, and I would say 2/3 of the overflow room were certified. It was very impressive.
That's great. Yeah, I love seeing that.
Are you seeing that at your institution and more and more in your own area?
Yes, and it's very contagious, you know. Yeah. So yes, nurses have a little bit of competitive edge when it comes to things mm-hmm. like that, but also just that meaningful recognition and that commitment to our patients that's so important with certification. And my unit alone, although anecdotal, I mean, we have doubled every single year, mm-hmm. and it spreads to the other ICUs as well. So it's quite contagious.
Yeah,
in a great way.
So you're coming in now. What's your next step now? I know you don't leave ACN.
I don't.
Nobody ever leaves AACN.
I hope not. No, I think the next 6 months post presidency, I'll lead the nominating committee, so we can begin to identify mm-hmm. next leaders coming in and governance leadership going beyond. I hope to stay involved, obviously, with AACN. They're doing so many great things. But mm-hmm. I have a particular love for, put my plug in now, for healthy work environments and the work they're doing around healthy work environments.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned and become a real believer. Although staffing is the big issue we talk about, we know from research that even when you have really good staffing, if you have a work environment that's not healthy, you still can't achieve the optimal patient outcomes you want. Mm-hmm. And the research we've seen on that and the studies I've read about that has really made me a believer that we have got to look at the environment we're working in.
Well, since you talk about the work environment and staffing, I have to ask, because the evidence also talks about 12-hour shifts, mm-hmm. and how they can be detrimental to both the nurse, mm-hmm. and the patient. So what's your thinking about that? Because when I talk to hospital administrators, nursing administrators, they say, well, if they the nurses want that.
Right.
And yet we're supposed to be practicing according to the evidence, but yet, right. you know, Joanne Dish, who was a former AACN president, wrote an editorial in Nursing Outlook when she was president of the Academy of Nursing, and the title of the editorial just stuck with me. It was called, "Do We Only Pay Attention to the Evidence We Like?"
Mm-hmm.
And it was really addressing this 12-hour
mm-hmm.
shift.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? Because certainly critical care units are just 12-hour shifts.
Right. Well, I haven't read all the literature myself, but I am a believer that if the evidence shows, we need to heed the evidence and we need to consider what are we going to do for that. And we have talked about in appropriate staffing
mm-hmm.
that's a part of it. So I think, you know, when I said we're in Camp C, I think that's part of Camp C. We need to evaluate, does the literature say 8 hours is better than 12 hours? It's interesting. I thought everybody worked 12 hours. And as I have been out and about, mm-hmm. there are a lot of people that have gone back to mm-hmm. 8 hour mm-hmm. shifts.
I would even say six, to be honest
six
with you.
Yeah.
Four. I think there's a lot of innovative strategies out there to really get people and in to help, but also not burn them out.
Mm-hmm,
and they want to help, but maybe not a full shift. So I do think that there is a misnomer constantly 12, because I don't see that.
Yeah.
You don't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
When I was working clinically as a clinical specialist, it was back in the back in the dark ages of the 70s when they were bringing DRGs and stuff. And then we had a shortage then. And flex time was the big thing, where mm-hmm. you would come in and work the, you know,
right.
kind of the shift hours and stuff.
Right.
And then we seem to have gotten away from that into the 12-hour shift. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see how that may be coming back
mm-hmm.
now.
I think it is. I think we're looking at different shift lengths and different ways to staff.
Mm-hmm.
So... but I am a believer we should follow the evidence. I'm with Joanne. We can't just read the evidence that we like and follow mm-hmm. that. We need to look at the evidence mm-hmm. and be true to it.
Mm-hmm. So, Megan, what's coming into this now, knowing the legacy that you're following based on the prior presidents and the priorities and kind of the path that the organization is set on, what do you see as your priority or your pet project or I don't know what's closest to your heart that you really want to grapple with?
Well, one thing that is so special about AACN is that when a new president comes in, we just don't upset the apple cart and come in with our own priorities. And I think that's what's made us successful,
mm-hmm.
you know, so many years, 50 years, right? I think I have wonderful bookends on either side of me, bookend presidents, I like to say. So it's more about advancing that mission. And where we're going with advancing that mission. And so, like Lisa said, with the staffing priority, that will continue to be a main priority with those two tracks that she mentioned. That is mm-hmm. not going away. And there is a lot of work to be done. It's a marathon. We have a long haul to think about how we're going to really overturn, you know, some things that are out there with appropriate mm-hmm. staffing. And I would say that, you know, when it comes to HWE, we have that wonderful survey. There is still so much more to glean from that and where we can use that. So
so what keeps you up at night in anticipating that you're going to be the president of this organization?
You know, it's funny because I'm up at night anyway. So I'd say what keeps me up during the day, right? Because I work night shift.
Okay.
And so I always love that kind of question, especially to me. But I think that what is so concerning right now is just workplace violence and some of the issues that the really serious things that are going on with some of the nurses and mm-hmm. their ability to be able to take care of themselves, but also safer care for their patients. And some of these situations are pretty horrendous. And mm-hmm. so we have, you know, zero tolerance is is important. Only 50% of the hospitals that were in our HWE survey really show that they have zero tolerance policies.
Really?
And that was concerning to me. The other part of that is that in that same survey, you know, there's 86% of nurses can say that they have an incident that they can think of, whether it be physical or verbal or sexual assault. That's a high number, mm-hmm. right?
So, and it seems to be, while we don't have data from years ago, it just seems to be so much more rampant now.
Right.
In the hospital setting.
Yeah. So. Right. It does. Yes. And there are those stories out there. So I'd say that's what keeps me up during the day.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Yeah.
So everybody has their own leadership style. What's yours?
You know, people have asked me that question before too, and I always think, okay, I imagine there were 6 leadership styles, or was it 5? You know, and
well, not,
try
not
and
a formal
go back.
Style, right, but just in terms of
you know, I really think that it's that servant leadership. If I were to categorize it, I really, as a bedside nurse, it's really important to me for people to get their professional development. What is my ability to look? What are those environmental things that are around us, and what do the nurses need? I love taking care of patients, but I love knowing what those nurses need and taking care of them, mm-hmm, so to speak, mm-hmm. and getting them what they need. And I think that really speaks to my style, whether we label it in a category or not.
Right. You're a caregiver on all counts.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So I have to ask, as we're closing this interview, because every year I do ask for what the next
oh my
motto
goodness.
Is. And,
oh my
and,
goodness.
And I've, you know, so far been true to my record of never revealing it until it's okay. So so I do want to ask, what's your motto going to be, or
well,
your words?
Right. Is there a little drum roll or something,
yeah.
right? Exactly. It's just going to be one word. And I don't know if we've done that before, but I'm really super excited to say it's just going to be unstoppable.
Oh, I like that.
Unstoppable, just one word. And I really look forward to Wednesday revealing that theme, mm-hmm. and what that theme means to not only just me, but what I think it can mean to our community.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for your wonderful presidency. And,
well,
and by all accounts, everything is just rolling along, progressing as always with AACN. And Megan, best of luck for the year.
Oh, I'm
so excited.
I hope
to see you next year.
Yes, I hope so too.
Yeah.